I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all.
Hi, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a really interesting show for you this evening. We're going to be discussing a lot of hot topics like Planet X and Earth changes and some miracle cures. And we're going to jump right into things and start off with a question that was asked to Bashar. And the question was, it appears that there is a race against time. Whether this critical mass of positive energy will overcome the manifestation of our own Armageddon? Bashar's answer, I will put it to you this way. There are an infinite number of probable Earths. Every single possible scenario will play out, and more precisely, is playing out now, since all time is actually simultaneous. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. And I think that really bears repeating. However, whatever each individual's vibratory frequency is, that is the determining factor for what probable future reality Earth they will experience. In that our civilization is communicating to this probable reality Earth, in other words, in that we are capable of having this conversation with you, then that is an indication that you are part and parcel of the probable reality Earth that will allow the positive energy, shall we say, to overbalance the negative. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this conversation. And all the probable reality Earths that do decide to let the negative dominate in their future, we are not having conversations with in the same way at all. Now, my take on that is very positive. And as usual on ET Yoga, I think the practice is, on any outer circumstance, to throw a positive spin on that circumstance. And it's really not hard to throw a positive spin on this one, because it clearly means that the probable future reality that we're experiencing now, in the long run, will turn out positive. And I think that is fabulous news. Now, as well, I think that other questions that were asked to Bashar about the major Earth changes are quite illuminating as well. And also, lots of practical ways that we can influence the outer circumstance that we will be experiencing. And one of the questions asked to Bashar was why he is communicating with us at this time. And Bashar responds, we represent ourselves as what you would call an extraterrestrial consciousness. We are a different civilization from your own, but we understand many of the same or similar things that you do. The idea of living through joy, of expressing creativity, of connection to the infinite creation. And our purpose and our reason for this transmission, this contact, this communication, is to provide each and every one of you individually and all of you collectively an opportunity to examine and to explore new perspectives, new reflections, new ideas, new ways of examining your reality, and of deciding whether or not you are living the lives you wish to live, to expand both your reality and thus, conversely, our reality. For anyone we interact with is for us a reflection of ourselves. and whatever changes you decide to make will also allow us to experience creation in that many more perspectives, that many more ways. So we are a civilization similar to your own, who wishes to answer your invitation to explore new levels of consciousness with you, to interact with you in whatever way you see fit, and to examine together in what ways we can both in the future perhaps interact more broadly. We are giving you an opportunity to understand that you are the creators of your reality and to understand pragmatically how to go about applying this knowledge to your world so that you can gain the results that many of you say you want, but perhaps have not necessarily been taught or trained to understand how to acquire. We can explain, in a sense, delineate and define the specific apparatus by which your consciousness does create the reality it already experiences, and by that examination, perhaps, illuminate how you can transform and change that mechanism to allow it to work for you in a more harmonious way, a more creative way, according to your own wishes and desires. Thus, as you say, in your language, in a nutshell, is who we are and why we are communicating with your civilization at this time. Another question of Bashar was, is there actually any significance to the beginning of our new millennium, the year 2000, and will anything tremendous happen at that time? Well, Bashar stated that 2001 is actually the beginning of your new millennium, not the year 2000. Yes, there is significance, even though it may not always be interpreted correctly, so to speak. The reason why there is so much recognition of this idea is because there is an innate sensing that your civilization, evolutionary, is coming to a head. It is arriving at a point which you call critical mass in its consciousness, where it really is crossing a threshold of understanding in awareness that can make a very large difference. Not necessarily right at the year 2001, but it has been changing for a little while and accelerate at will. Somewhere in between your now time and what you would call your year 2013, you'll find that some of the most significant changes will be represented in your society based on the changes going on in your collective consciousness at this time, because you have reached critical mass and are beginning to understand some very important things, such as you create your reality. The more individuals that really begin to understand this and apply this, then the more it will cause a critical mass acceleration that actually will profoundly change your society in relatively short order, historically speaking. So since it all centers around this general upcoming shift in millennial time, it is simply lumped into the beginning year of the millennium, which in your counting is 2001. Can you tell us more about this critical mass acceleration and the threshold we're crossing? Well, the acceleration which is going on and has been going on for a while, but which is, in a sense, starts to culminate in and around the first couple of decades of your upcoming new millennium, is the crossing of a threshold that is similar to the concept of, in your technology, crossing the sound barrier or approaching the idea of the speed of light. You are arriving at that threshold and you are about to cross it, so everything must accelerate to bring all your energy to bear as a society, so you can bring all that energy and momentum up to speed and match the frequency of your ultimate self, and then begin to cross that threshold to create the new society that you are laying the foundations for now. By seeing what is going on your planet with the acceleration of new information and also with what you may term the negative things that seem to be accelerating on your planet, you're getting everything up out of your system and out onto the table. This allows you to examine every portion of your creation, every portion of your culture and society, to examine what it is you want to keep and what it is you want to change in order to bring all that energy and consciousness and intention to bear, allowing you to step across the threshold into the new reality that you are all together co-creating. So there will be much, much more acceleration. You haven't, as you say in your language, seen anything yet. Get ready for the roller coaster ride of your life. Along with this shift in critical mass comes increasingly strong opposition to these ideas by the chemical industrial complex, which controls most of the legislation that dominates our world. Bashar's response to that, yes, but that is all part and parcel of everything coming to a head. In other words, many times many things that seem dire may also seem to be becoming more prevalent, but only because you are now willing to get everything out of your system and onto the table. So certain things will appear in your terms worse, while other things will appear better. In other words, you'll see a great amount of polarity, and that is the indicator that everything is coming to a head, because what you're actually doing is getting everything out on the table is ultimately deciding what you want your world truly to be based upon. And as soon as you really decide that and cross the critical mass threshold, then in an accelerated way, the old structure that no longer belongs to the new decision will collapse very rapidly in due order. Now, what about with respect to predictions of catastrophe? Bashar's comments. In some cases, it will be severe. In other cases, it will not be felt at all. It will depend upon the infrastructure that has been laid down in certain areas on your planet, since there is much diversity in your world and many different approaches to different things. Different areas will likewise experience the result and consequences in different ways. The basic thing to understand is that when individuals begin to lay down other systems, alternative systems, new ideas, and put them into place, then it will not really matter if the old systems crumble or collapse, for new ones will be there, ready and willing to take their place and take up what you call the slack. Now, at the same time, sometimes what you would call a break from the old paradigm may be a welcome thing and give individuals a chance to rethink how they go about setting up certain systems to allow them in the future to become far more flexible, less rigid. And this is a metaphor for how you really need to live your lives as well. So I would simply overall suggest that you don't really worry about it, for I will tell you this with absolute certainty. The more you worry about it being a problem, the more you magnetically will draw yourself into a circumstance where you will experience it as a problem. Instead, I would suggest that you allow yourself to treat it as an amazing opportunity to allow systems to shift and change very rapidly, and that you position yourself by your energy and your own certainty so that you will know that you will be where you need to be when you need to be there, so that you will experience, no matter what any else's experience, you will personally experience only a beneficial result from such a consequence instead of a negative one. What about the many predictions of global natural disasters that have come from other channeled beings and other sources? Bashar's comment. Many of you have spoken of the idea of the transformation seeming to have to take place through the idea of catastrophes, earthquakes, flood, famine, axis shifts, and much more of the like. Recognize that this energy potential does exist, but only as a potential. It may have a great deal of momentum behind it. It may have a great degree of backing behind it from your civilization, simply because that's the way your civilization has always assumed that changes must occur, with strife and struggle. But recognize, not that you are being lied to, for you are not, but recognize that you are being given an opportunity to decide whether what they say is true for you, in terms of what you believe you need to experience in the transformation taking place on your planet right now. When you hear something that does not strike a vibratory chord within you, recognize that you are being given an opportunity to understand and reflect upon what you know to be true for you. Then you can utilize the situation as an equal and not continue to feel that what you are being given as information is any more powerful than the information you have within yourselves with regard to reality and a world which is, after all, yours. Will there be noticeable physical effects of this transformation on the planet? Bashar says, are there not already? Do you not see around your planet many different changes in the weather, many different geological changes? Now, all of the ones that have been predicted don't have to come to pass. you have already transformed many of them into other forms of energy expression, such as sociological change or political change or financial change. They do not have to be experienced in any particular way. There will still be some acceleration in what you call the geological or weather pattern or electromagnetic field changes, but again, the basic bottom line really is, what is your energy all about? It is your frequency that will determine where you are, when you are there, and how you will experience the transformation, for like attracts like, and the energy of fear will only attract an individual into the centers that experience the transformation in a cataclysmic way, whereas the energy of joy and unconditional love of self will attract the individual to experience the transformation, even if they are standing in the middle and all around them is cataclysm. They will never experience it in anything but a smooth and creative manner. That's the key. So do not so much be concerned about exactly what's going to happen. Be focused on the idea of what you decide you are all about, because only your wavelength will determine what you are attracted to experience in the transition, what portion or what methodology or what style of the transition you are capable of experiencing, because it can be experienced in many different ways, because it's holographic. There are any number of ways to experience it that coexist simultaneously, and what frequency you are on, like your television set, what channel you are on determines the program you get. Even though all the other programs might be there on the airwaves, you only see the one your television set is tuned to. This is physics. This is how it works. As part of these earth changes, will there be a major earthquake in Southern California in the next few years, as predicted? Bashar, the likelihood of the kind of quake you're talking about in Southern California does not really reach an approximation of occurrence until around 2010, and even then it is not certain. And as we have said before, and you can apply this if you remember, the idea is that the more you change yourselves, then the less likely it will be that you will have to create circumstances to shake yourselves awake. You can transform the energy. It is your reality. While it is true that some individuals will believe that they must go through a trial by fire in order to change, not everyone has to. The idea is that the more you allow yourself to be yourself, the less likely it will be that you need any kind of catastrophic reminder, and you can make the transitions relatively smoothly. Even if you find yourself in the midst of great physical change, if you are centered within your own being, there can be chaos all around you, and you will remain untouched. The question asked, can people's thoughts and feelings of a negative nature have an effect on whether we have earthquakes? Bashar says, yes, we have been saying that for years, and that is why we say when you are centered within your vibration of belief, a belief that is aligned and harmonious with your joy, then you will actually be capable of transforming the way change occurs. They need not occur in catastrophic terms, and even if they do, and even if you are in the midst of it, your vibration will determine what you experience. One individual who may experience full terror and even injury and death can be standing right next to another individual who will remain untouched. It depends upon the vibration and how you will translate your reality, because each and every one of you is a different reality. You share some ideas, but the idea of the changes fundamentally are neutral, and the effect of how you experience them is completely determined by the vibrational state in which you decide you exist. Contact with extraterrestrials. Is it true that many other civilizations are watching and are interested in what is happening on our planet at this time? Bashar, absolutely. It is a high point of conjunction, the different kinds of coming together of consciousness and integration that are taking place in your world at this time. It is not that this kind of thing has never happened or will never happen again, but in terms of linear time, it is relatively rare, and in that sense, a special moment, because it is literally the leap into the awakening of your own godhood. Thus it is, linearly speaking, an expansion of creation, most profoundly so. Can you tell us a specific time frame for the general and public acceptance and understanding of the UFO phenomenon? Bashar, well, absolutely, no later than 2037 AD. Now, there will be many things that will happen to come up before that. There will be certain revelations in and around your year 2005-2007. And remember, this is as we sense the collective energy of your planet as it stands now. And this was around 2000. So there will begin to be more information that is released and understood and known in between the window of your year 2005 to 2007, and you'll find that by your year 2012 to 2013, there will actually be quite a lot of information. By your year 2029, you will find that there will be generally be almost no one on your planet who is not aware of the idea of the existence of extraterrestrials. And by your year 2037, your planet in general will most likely be at a level of vibrational resonance where it will become a part of what we call the Association of Worlds. So I guess the ET Yoga spin on that information is clearly that the coming events will be some of the most profound and unbelievable as well as beneficial in spiritual terms, and that's why so many of us have chosen to experience this time frame. And I guess to sort of move on with this train of thinking around, I guess, catastrophic events that are talked about on the internet and elsewhere, is the concept of Planet X. And my first experience with the concept came back in about 2003 because there were lots of claims about a passing of Planet X in 2003. And there being a wipeout of 90% of the population and et cetera. Now, most of that came from Zeta Talk. And I guess at that time, you know, like any bit of information, it needs to be looked at with respect to its validity. And having never heard of the concept of a 10th planet, I started to do some inner work and also some outer research. And I guess my first point of contact was at the Satchitananda Ashram, because I had emailed Swami there to find out about what they knew about Planet X. And the information I got was that they were more closely associated with things of the Earth, and really there was no information forthcoming. Now, my own concept there is that the farther you go into inner space, the farther you go in outer space. And I decided at that point in time to pretty much do my own inner work. And what I came up with at that point in time was, first off, yes, there was such a thing as a Planet X. And second, that yes, it did orbit our solar system in an odd manner, in that the other planets all seem to, you know, rotate in a certain conformity and direction, but this particular planet actually crosses the solar system. And at that point, I became involved or connected with or drawn to the information from Zechariah Sitchin and amazing discoveries that he made about the Sumerian tablets. And certainly it's not going to be the focus of our discussion this evening, but I would recommend that you could research his findings. And then I guess the point comes up as to, well, if in fact this is real, how much of a threat is it currently? Well, if you start paying attention to Bashar's information, again, the suggestion is to focus on the reality and the vibration that you prefer, that there's going to be all kinds of Earth scenarios being played out, and they'll all be played out, and there's some versions that have a close bypass to Earth, and with its, well, if you want to call them negative consequences. But there will be other Earth versions that this is not going to be a factor. And so I guess you can take that and the Bashar suggestions that we've mentioned at the top of the show here as to how you want to experience that particular situation. Now, in conjunction with that, from the Starseed Dialogues, and by the way, that's a Patricia Corey's latest book, Soul Searching the Universe, I'd like to share with you some information there. The Nibirian, which Nibiru is called that Planet X, population remains entrapped in the lowest forms of survival consciousness in the inner world of that planet, which continues its elliptical orbit from Sothis, Sirius A, to Ra, your sun, very much a part of the three-dimensional spatial reality as Gaia, or Earth. Descendants from this ancient population have also interbred with Homo sapiens in Earth gravity, and they have stolen the power, positioning themselves as the self-imposed elite rulers of your planet, hence your troublesome connection to them. From the hour of late Atlantis, they use their influence upon the dark priesthood to create the kind of technologies that haunt you again today. Electromagnetic stimulation of the lower energy centers, mind control technologies, the acceleration of ego-centered consciousness and separation in order to push your race into ideological separation and obedience. In that era of intervention in Atlantean affairs, they altered the values and perceptions of the ancient civilization by building upon the people's primordial fear of survival, creating conflict and wars, and by introducing sacrificial rites, mass control methodologies, and mind manipulation into the culture. So I guess that's sort of a starting point into the take that the Syrians have of the connection between that tenth planet. Now, further to that, the question was asked of the Syrians, what will happen to the Anunnaki puppets and the puppeteers who currently control Earth? And the answer was, from what we understand of the Earth-based Anunnaki, they do truly believe that they can be successfully in entraining Earth to the Nibirian vibration and bringing that planet into the fourth dimension with you, where they no doubt imagine themselves triumphant rulers of a world delivered unto a new paradigm. Incapable of truly imagining the vibratory essence of the next density, where such dark maneuverings as theirs cannot cling, they remain unwavering in their robotic conviction that they must save the ancient world of Nibiru by anchoring that planet to Earth. They see this as the last hope for their dying home planet. Upon your planet, they hold tenuous rule, but rule they do for the moment. They have resources, they have mastership of technology, and cunning design. They believe in the illusions of heroism, new worlds to conquer, and all the types of fantasy that you have heard played so often as the winner-take-all design behind the violence, wars, and global tyranny. What we anticipate happening to the Dark Warriors is that they will crawl back into their underground cities and bunkers when you are nearing passage, the dream of Nibiru defeated, but still hoping to save themselves, at the very least, by hiding away in the underground of the planet as it passes through the golden court of Ra in ascension. Although they have no true idea of the process of ascension and the subsequent mutation of matter, they do ardently cling to their conviction that they can survive and make it to the fourth dimension, riches in hand, to start anew. In some ways, they are very Egyptian in their perception of taking it with them. They will not. Unfortunately, they have bound themselves to an inestimable journey upon the wheel of reincarnation in the extreme density of the darkest physical space, and very possibly they will have to work through the karma for many lifetimes to come. An interesting conception on their possible future. They continue by saying that know that your fearing these events creates more turmoil and disruption on personal and interplanetary levels than does your acceptance of them. Your understanding that the earth changes are the manifestation of your deity in transformation, just as they are the reflection of all life within the earth realm, and that Gaia knows exactly what to do. The vibratory patterns of terror and fear amplify the magnitude, altering the manifestations of earth changes, and this, the power instrumentalizes to accelerate the emotional disharmony of your world populations. Consider the birth process and your personal experience of that soul passing through you. Did you fear for your infant when the end of your term was upon you and you realized her painful passage from the safety of the womb was imminent? Did you focus on the pain she would experience attempting the seemingly impossible task of passing her mass of physical proportions through the minutiae of the birth canal? Did you torment yourself with imaginings of horror and suffering? Surely you did not. Before the splendor of rebirth, you embraced the moment before you, putting aside even your own fear of the pain of delivering this soul into the world, and you celebrated the miracle and the beauty of life unfolding. You opened yourself without question, trusting that all was and is forever right in the universe. And in a second in your elusive time, an innocent and helpless new life came into your world and was placed into your awaiting arms, the soul who chose you, Blessed One, to guide them into the light. So it will be with the ascension. The Earth Mother has carried you to term. She has borne the weight and the burden of the entire human race and is now preparing to take her place on the birthing table, where all will pass to other realms, and there, too, will you be embraced and cared for. For the ascending, that will be a lighter level of consciousness, where much of the disharmony of your current lives will no longer cling, and new perceptions will guide you all on your perennial journey back to source. And for those who don't ascend, what will happen to these souls? There will be another lifetime, a rebirth, once they have gone to the halls of learning, acquired new information regarding the next incarnation, and rested. They will leap back into the density of the physical reality somewhere, sometime, as the soul decrees and designs the new experience in body and form. How that body will take form and in what environment it will find a resonant field in which to develop is a process of karmic patterns and decisions created by the soul. And so, we have some perspectives from Bashar and the Syrians on earth changes and also its connection to ascension. And I really like that analogy of the birthing process. And now I'd like to jump into the topic of a new cure. And the new cure is called the Miracle Mineral Supplement. And I guess I'm going to preface this by stating that I haven't had personal experience with the Miracle Mineral. Almost all of the products and recommended natural cures that I've spoken about on ET Yoga and on my website at Healing the Known and the Unknown, I have personally had experience with. And this one I haven't, but because of the huge magnitude of the possibilities, I felt it important at least to mention it on the show. And I'd like to quote from the inventor, Jim Humble. I hope you do not think the Miracle Mineral Supplement, MMS, is just another very interesting supplement that can help some people after taking it for several months. Not so. MMS often works in a few hours. It destroys the number one killer of mankind, malaria, in 4 hours. The victim goes back to work the next day. If patients in the nearest hospital were treated with this miracle mineral, over 50% of them would be back at home within a week. Amazing as it might seem, when used correctly, the immune system can use this killer to only attack those germs, bacteria, viruses, molds, and other microorganisms that are harmful to the body. It does not affect friendly bacteria, including intestinal flora, nor healthy cells. It is only two simple items once it is dissolved in water. It consists of harmless chlorine, that is in table salt, and oxygen, and some sodium before it is dissolved in water. It has been used in stockyards to kill pathogens on meat and slaughtered chickens, sterilized hospital floors, and now the same formula is used in the body with no side effects. The fact is, it treats almost all diseases, including the so-called incurable diseases. And there are protocols for its use with cancer. At this historic time, when new diseases like Ebola, Morgellons, AIDS, and the revival of polio are reported, suffering people deserve to know that MMS has the ability and selectivity to kill almost every known virus, bacteria, parasite, germ, and most fungus. MMS is now widely available, low in cost, and totally effective, as was demonstrated between 2001 and 2006 in the lives of 75,000 people, and is now being demonstrated recently in another 210,000 who live at this time in the United States. And I'm going to mention just a few of the diseases that there is documented evidence of it being successful with: Alzheimer's disease, arthritis, autism, cancer, most types, chemotherapy, herpes, MS, thyroid gland, and thyrotoxicosis. And that's Jim Humble, that's MMS, and you can see that it's also referenced at the Project Camelot site. And I thought this amazing claim should be given some airtime this evening. And in addition to that, I really think there's some other amazing things happening in the health-related fields. And I'd like to quote from the College of Christ Consciousness, because this kind of thing is consistent with Mother Mary information, and that is that the pathway created by the harmonic convergence, and that I believe was 1987, would usher in an acceptance of new natural medicines that will come forth, which will activate the photon receptors of your DNA, light-encoded filaments, setting the stage for rebundling of the full 12 strands, eventually returning you to your naturalized state of individualized godhood by or before the year 2012. A new genetic code is about to emerge about the synchronization of the mind, body, and spirit, and obliterating disease. And it is clearly my belief that we are on the edge of obliterating disease. And I'm very hopeful that this MMS is certainly going to play a part in that, because it certainly fits the definition of these new natural medicines. And I would like to share with you at this time three amazing experiments, just astonishing experiments with DNA, and it proves that DNA has the possibility of healing itself according to the feelings of the individual. And this really ties in with the teachings on ET yoga, because certainly the Pleiadian extraterrestrial channel information indicates that all disease has its root cause in dysfunctional emotion. And experiment one was from Dr. Vladimir Popan, and he's a quantum biologist who first created a vacuum in a container so that the only things left in it were light photons. He measured the distribution or location of the photons and found that they were completely randomly distributed, as was expected. He then placed some DNA in the container and remeasured the photon distribution. This time the photons were lined up in an ordered way and aligned with the DNA. In other words, DNA had a physical effect on the photons. After that, the DNA was removed from the container and the distribution of photons was remeasured. The photons remained ordered and lined up with where the DNA had been. Now, Greg Braden concluded that we are forced to accept the possibility that some new field of web of energy is present, and the DNA is communicating with the photons through this energy. And this reminds me of the primal perception biocommunication in plants as claimed by Cleve Baxter. And that's known as the Baxter effect. And he found that not only do plants pick up on emotions, but actually read human thought. And his work has been highly criticized, but has many supporters, and I'm one of them. And probably most of this problem he's having is due to the instantaneous communication at distance, which gets into military research. No doubt the same principle holds true with humans as well. And this throws a completely new spin on all we've been taught concerning how the body functions. It also connects with the spectroscopic analysis done with monoatomic elements, which operate with unlimited conductivity. I mean, the monoatomics are superconductors, and that's the definition of unlimited conductivity, the definition of a superconductor. Now, experiment two, this was done by the military. Leukocytes, white blood cells, were collected from donors for DNA and were placed in chambers so that electrical changes could be measured. The donor was placed in a room and subjected to emotional stimulation, consisting of video clips, which generated differing emotions in the donor. The DNA was placed in a different room in the same building. Both the donor and his DNA were monitored. As the donor exhibited emotional peaks and valleys as measured by electrical responses, the DNA exhibited the identical responses at exactly the same time. There was no lag or transmission time. To ascertain how far apart this phenomenon would operate, the military separated the donor and his DNA by increasing distances, stopping when they reached 50 miles apart. The responses of the DNA at that distance were exactly the same and still occurred at exactly the same time with no lag in transmission time. Now, Greg Braden's take on that is, this means that living cells communicate through a previously unrecognized form of energy, which is not affected by time or distance. He considers that this is a form of energy which already exists everywhere all the time. And obviously, Braden at that time was not aware of the work of David Hudson and monoatomics or of Bashar. And I highly recommend that people check out the David Hudson's lectures 1, 2, and 3 about the nature of superconductivity of monoatomic elements. And I also referred to Bashar's hypothesis of prime radium, where the entire cosmos is one atom traveling at infinite speed and therefore breaks no laws of physics. And I think a further implication of this experiment would be that watching television would also produce the same effects on your DNA emotionally, and begs the question, who do you want programming your DNA, especially as it relates to fear? Now for amazing experiment number three. The third experiment was conducted by the Institute of Heart Math and was reported in a paper entitled Local and Non-Local Effects of Coherent Heart Frequencies on Conformational Changes of DNA. It relates to the anthrax situations. Human placenta DNA, the most pristine form of DNA, was placed in containers in which it was possible to measure changes in the DNA. 28 vials of DNA were given, one each, to 28 researchers, each of whom had been trained to generate and feel strong emotions. It was discovered that the DNA changed its shape according to the feelings of the researchers. When the researchers felt gratitude, love, and appreciation, the DNA responded by relaxing. The strands unwound and the DNA became longer. When the researchers felt anger, fear, frustration, and stress, the DNA became longer. When the researchers felt anger, fear, frustration, and stress, the DNA responded by tightening up, becoming shorter, and many of the DNA codes were switched off. So if you have ever felt wound up or shut down by negative emotions, you will know that your body was like that also. This experiment was followed up by testing HIV-positive patients. It was discovered that feelings of love, gratitude, and appreciation created 300,000 times the resistance they had without those feelings. So no matter what dreadful virus or bacteria may be floating around, you can increase your resistance to it by staying in feelings of joy, love, gratitude, and appreciation. It was found that these emotional changes went beyond the scope of electromagnetics, and that individuals trained in deep love were able to change the shape of their DNA, which Greg Braden interprets as an illustration of a new form of energy that connects all of creation. This energy appears to be tightly woven, a web that connects all matter and can be influenced by our own vibration. In the Isaiah effect, Greg explains that time is not linear, but has depth as well. This depth consists of all the possible prayers and timelines that could ever be prayed or exist. Essentially, all our prayers have already been answered. We simply choose which ones to activate by selecting our own emotions. Now, this is absolutely totally consistent with what we just previously discussed about Bashar and choosing our own reality. This is how we create our own reality. We choose it with our own feelings. The law of the universe is that we attract what we focus on. If you focus on fear of whatever may come, you are sending a message to the universe to send you what you fear. If you feel joy, love, appreciation, and gratitude, and focus on bringing more of those into your life, you will automatically avoid the negative stuff. You will be choosing a different timeline with your feelings. I think I had to repeat that one too. You will be choosing a different timeline with your feelings. So what is happening with newspaper headlines about the inevitability of avian flu and the necessity of being vaccinated against it? This seems to be an effort on the part of the media and probably those who stand to gain from the sale of vaccine, which is said to be ineffective anyway, to generate feelings of fear of the disease. The very feelings that have been shown to make people more susceptible to the disease. The most effective way to prevent the disease is to continue to have feelings of love, gratitude, and appreciation in every now that you have. And this is also consistent with Bashar's claim that the human body, fully detoxed with the proper nutrients, is capable of healing 99.9% of disease. And also consistent with Mother Mary's teachings. And I think it bears talking about that briefly here, about the information from Mother Mary. And her information basically is that fear is what you deny is what you fear, and what you fear is what you judge. And when you judge something as negative or evil, you will automatically respond with fear. You may say, oh, I wouldn't attract something like that into my life. I'm not going to give it any energy by thinking about it. This is a response of denial. And what you are understanding is that it is your vibration that is the attracting force rather than your words. Vibration is composed of two ingredients, thought and emotion. When you think a judgmental thought and couple it with fear, the emotion, you create a very powerful attracting force. It is our observation, and this is Mother Mary, that this is the energy most of you use most of the time to create your reality. It is also why so many of your creations aren't what you prefer. You are attracting based on the vibration of fear and then denying that you are in fear. Denial only suppresses the emotion. It does not eliminate it. When you say, I'm not going to give it any energy by thinking about it, be aware that you are in that moment giving it energy and attracting it into your life through your vibration of fear, which comes from judgment. Your state of denial only keeps you from feeling the fear. It does not stop the attraction. If you fear something often enough, long enough, you will eventually attract it into your life. This is a guarantee because it follows God's law of attraction, the law of cause and effect. Here's an example of creating through fear. This type of thinking then denying is the cause behind most, but not all, cases of cancer. There is so much fear generated around this one disease via an ongoing, very vigorous marketing campaign that it manifests in physical life on a daily basis simply because of the process of vibration equal attraction, and not as others would have you believe because of genetic history, environment, food, water, air, etc. It manifests only in response to one's vibration of fear of it. look around you. Start becoming aware of the massive advertising your society does to promote fear of cancer under the guise of fighting cancer. Those marketing cancer know that whatever you resist, you create through the law of attraction. Even your society's drives to raise money donations for the cause of cancer are promoting cancer. They do this by triggering fear, which will actually result in increasing the rate of cancer. When people respond to these campaigns by donating money to them, they are actually assisting the rate increase. The motivation behind the donation, in many cases, is denial. The donation helps one cover up their own fear of cancer so that they won't have to feel it. Fear has some higher purposes. For one thing, it can warn you when your physical body is in immediate danger. Move off the track, there's a train coming. Fear is also a teacher. It shows one where they are out of touch with their own power and erroneously believing that someone or something has authority or control over certain areas of their life. I should also like to point out that in addition to the MMS as a potential cure for many types of diseases, that in the Infinity Codes of 2007, clearly, in conjunction with those experiments, that the emotions of gratitude, unconditional love, and compassion are the keynotes of the meditations for the activation of your DNA template for perfect health and well-being. And I might also say that I've become aware of a number of amazing cures specifically related to cancer. And one of the reasons that I've kind of looked through sources other than the medical profession is that, number one, I've become aware of the fact that it's now become a felony for a physician to recommend an alternate cure to cancer, which to me dismisses them as an objective source of information. And second, I guess I was became aware of the Harry Hoxsey cure for cancer, which basically he had about 17 clinics that were operating in the United States and was shut down. And if you study the Harry Hoxsey information, and I found some of that as a video on rattube.com on how healing becomes a crime. And how Harry Hoxsey, there are vans now of Americans going to Mexico and still using the Harry Hoxsey cancer cure. And based on those two situations, I basically started looking to alternate cures for cancer, not using, the established medical system as a credible source. And found that at the Atlantean Healing Technologies and the sites, they actually advertise Pau D'Arco tea as a cure for cancer, and there are a lot of the research of about 25 different types of cancers done at Tokyo University. So if you check out Earl B. Hall's Atlantean Healing Technologies and see what he has to say. I've also became aware of the Budwig diet, which was developed back in the 1940s, which is a combination of cottage cheese and flaxseed oil. It's now being used in Europe as well as a cancer cure. I don't know what happened to it in the United States. And also information about monoatomics. If you read the David Hudson's material, some stage 4 cancer, people have been cured. He lists all kinds of other diseases that monoatomics, in particular rhodium and iridium, have cured. Apparently there is a product through the Carrington Laboratories called Ace Manin, which has apparently been approved by the Federal Drug Administration for curing cancer in animals, but it's never been promoted as a cure for humans. I should also mention another amazing man, Dr. Hoffer. If you know of anybody who has suffering from schizophrenia, amazing research. He's now retired, not practicing anymore, but has books on the market. And that's Dr. Hoffer, H-O-F-F-E-R. And in dealing with schizophrenia, he says that it is biochemical in origin, which is an amazing in itself. And he has discovered that omega doses of vitamin B3 and vitamin C, with finding out what the person is has allergies to, yields a 90% recovery rate in acute cases and a 50% recovery rate in chronic cases. To me, this is an incredible unknown discovery. I can only imagine the number of people with schizophrenia across the United States, Canada, and the rest of the world, and how these people are, you know, typically are being treated with the pills they're given, which to me is, you know, way past current knowledge. And I definitely wanted to pass that on, information on. So what we're seeing here, I think, in the world today is clearly an explosion of amazing possibilities with respect to developing curative disease. And certainly, maybe even topping the list, is the children of AIDS, which Dremel and Melchizedek had reported that were exhibiting total immunity, some of them, from disease. And maybe on another program we'll go into some more detail with that, because according to his information, some of these kids have four codons in their DNA activated, which is not prevalent in the rest of the population, and that some of these kids have been, they've taken their DNA and tested them against 3,000 times the normal dose of AIDS, and as well against other diseases, and they've been found to be immune from disease. And this effect is also passing into the adult population through the 100th monkey effect. So as a human species, we are clearly mutating into something else that, and as I said previously, I think that we are on the verge of totally obliterating disease, and maybe much to the dismay of those who are making money on people being sick. At this point in time in the show, I'd like to wish you my best toward your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and hope you tune in again next week. Good night.
Hi, this is Charles Maxwell Green, and I'm the host of ET Yoga. That's every other Thursday, Channel 2, at BBS Radio, from 7:55 to 8:50 p.m. ET Yoga communicates self-empowering knowledge from channeled extraterrestrial sources combined with the teachings of ancient yoga masters. You can also learn to totally be self-empowered, cure disease, or create total immunity from disease at maxwellgreensite.com. See you on Thursday evening.